Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Today, for a second mentoring conversation in the studio, we have Cindy Banshee, president of Split Rock Management, doing business at Vanguard Cleaning Systems of Minnesota. And what we learned in our first episode was Cindy grew up on a farm in Wisconsin, and she learned two things, how to work hard and how to be an entrepreneur. And that has served her well and helped her throughout the working in 16 years in IBM. Prior to that, she got a degree in economics and management services.
Management information systems.
Management information systems. There we go. Yes, which when you're running a business, understanding how the systems work is really critical. Yeah. And we learned that you've got two sons. You're happily married. At age 51, you took the greatest risk of your life, and you became a triathlete. And you've got so into it that in 2015, you decided to join in on the Ironman, the hardest challenge of your life.
It was the longest and shortest 15 hours of my life.
Yeah, but you're not counting.
No.
Right. Yeah. Oh, great. And Vanguard has 65 locations, and so you're a franchisor and a franchisee.
Correct.
So the main franchisor is in San Francisco, did you say?
Just south of San Francisco, San Mateo.
Okay. And so you bought the franchise from them, and mm-hmm. then you have franchisees under you who have purchased those licenses to run their own cleaning businesses.
Correct.
And is corporate cleaning?
It's corporate commercial cleaning only.
Commercial yes. cleaning. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to say, I could use some help at my house.
We get that question quite a bit.
I'm sure you do. Every house you visit. Yeah, right. Oh, very good. So how are you feeling?
I'm good.
Oh, good. We have ventured into a conversation where I think you have so much wealth of knowledge in just how to run your life. You've done a lot of traveling. You've raised two successful boys. So I would like to go into a little bit more detail about some tips that you might have for others who are in the business of franchises.
Okay.
Like even advice about how to purchase a franchise. Yeah.
All right. I think franchising is a model, and it is a model in and of itself. Franchising isn't for everyone. It definitely has to meet some criteria that an individual would probably be looking for. If you don't have an entrepreneurial spirit, I think no matter what, you can't run a small business. I think you've
got to. So you have to be a risk taker.
You have to be a risk taker.
With your finances.
Absolutely. A franchise offers you some structure, and I think as you're evaluating franchises, I know when I was looking at franchises, I think I came up with criteria before I even started looking at the franchise, and it gets pretty easy. You ask yourself, do I want B2B or do I want B2C? Do I want to have teenagers in the mix as part of my employee base, or do I not want to? Do I want to be in retail, or do I want to be, in some kind of 9-to-5 business? So I went through all of that criteria, and that's how I boiled down to, it sounds funny, to a cleaning franchise, and people always would question me, why cleaning? And I said, it's a industry that is not, I wouldn't say recession-proof, but recession-resistant. And I think that's another key criteria when people are looking at any business, whether it's a franchise or not. You need to ask a very fundamental question is, will this business survive the ups and downs of the business cycles? Because you're going to hit them. Mm-hmm. And you need to be You need to ask yourself, can what I'm doing survive that cycle? So that was really important for me as well. And then I, having grown up on a farm, I didn't want anything elaborate. I wanted a very base business. I knew it was going to be roofing or something really base business, because people need that no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's coming from a high-tech industry. Mm-hmm. I was ready for not high-tech. I was ready for some pretty basic stuff. And so I like this industry because it doesn't change every day. It's going to be pretty much the same 5 years from now, 10 years from now, as it is today. And that
means... So a little more predictable.
Very predictable. Mm-hmm. And so I think, again, when you're looking at these things, you want to look at, yes, you want to look at the revenue potential. You want to look at your competition. But I think you need to look at some of these other factors, too, because I think those factors are the things you're going to end up having to live with just as much in the long run as the revenue potential.
And there's thousands and thousands of franchises.
Yes.
So, which is, you know, anyone who starts looking at franchises, they're like, what?
Yes.
There's a photography franchise? I mean, what? You know, there's all these different industries. And I've known some people who have bought franchises where it was a younger franchise, not that younger franchises, like, you know, within 3 or 4 years that they aren't successful or they aren't legitimate. But it's another level of risk that you're taking on, too.
Yes. That's another thing that I was very careful of is the Entrepreneur magazine lists the top 500 franchises every year. And I think it's really important to go and look at that list and make sure that you're picking a franchise that's at least in the top 60 to 70. That's a great sweet spot, I tell folks, because they're not at the top yet. So mm-hmm. there's room for that franchise to probably still expand, but it's not new. So it's not further down in the ranking so that you've taken risk out of it. If you're looking at, there's still the upside potential, but it's not going to cost as much as the top 10 or the top 15. But that mid-size 50, 60, you know, 40 in that area, there's probably some good franchises potential in there that you could grow with and probably either buy additional locations or buy more of the franchise and probably do a lot better and be more stable and take some of the risk out of it.
Sure. And I know that one of the financial, part of the financial model with franchises is to have more than one.
Yes. There is. It depends upon the kind. If you're looking at a lot of retail, you're going to buy, it's called multiples. So you will tend to buy, for example, everybody knows Dairy Queen is a franchise. You would buy multiples of them because you want multiple locations. In my particular case, I would rather have a bigger territory and not buy another franchise per se. I could buy another region, but I'd rather have a bigger region and grow that. So I actually have all of Minnesota and half of Wisconsin.
So as part of a franchisee
mm-hmm.
you've have bought the license to be in this territory.
Yeah, and I bought the whole state and half of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I have quite a big territory versus buying a smaller piece and then having to buy additional parts. So, for example, some of my competitors here in town who are cleaning franchises only bought Minneapolis, and if they want to travel into St. Paul, they have to buy St. Paul. I have the whole state. So, again, it's another criteria. Look at, you know, what, if you're buying, what's your territory?
And you must have known, I want the whole state because I want to build something here.
Yes.
Okay. And how much bigger do you want to grow? Is there lots of room to grow?
There's a lot of room to grow here.
Okay.
It's one of these hidden industries that's in the billions.
Oh,
and so it's.
I believe it.
I always tell folks, once you get over the fact it's cleaning, it's a business like other businesses with lots of opportunity and lots of economies that you can, economies of scale if you do it correctly. So.
Are there less franchises for those who are non-commercial, who are doing homes?
No, actually, I think that's an area that's actually growing in the cleaning. Molly Maids, Mary Maids, those are all franchises newer.
Franchises. Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of in a developing niche.
I think that still is. But it, you know, every franchise has its benefits and its own challenges. And I just chose to not do the home market.
Yeah.
That just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
You must have had some money to ahead of time that you saved up, yes. Like you had mentioned, and you really pinched your pennies initially. To be profitable in 2 years is really phenomenal. So you kept your eye on the ball. How has your part of your major in economics helped you?
Well, I actually have a master's in, I have an MBA as well, so that helped quite a bit. And I think you learn how to read the financial statements very closely, mm-hmm. and know which levers to pull and which ones to push. And this is one of the things when I talk to new folks or folks looking at a new business or a new enterprise, to make sure that not only do they have the finances to start it, which and the finances to keep their families going while the business is growing.
So kind of do some projections so you can cash flow to make sure.
And I always tell them add 20% on top of whatever you're doing because you're underestimating it. And then the other thing I always tell folks is even if you've never taken an accounting class in your life or a finance class, go take them. Mm-hmm. I always give people the example of if you just had a baby and you handed the baby to the doctor so the doctor could tell you that the baby was crying. That's like handing your finances off and letting somebody else tell you that the baby's crying. I want to know that my baby's crying. And so
you want to meet the needs of your baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to know before anyone else knows that there's an issue coming up in my business and take care of it. And I think that helps to keep that focus. And I think anybody that thinks that they can get into a business and hand that off immediately without understanding that,
yeah,
I think is they're misleading themselves, especially if they want to grow their business.
Yeah.
I think you have to know the numbers.
Yeah. And when did you get your MBA?
1989.
So. Okay. So did you go on after your undergraduate to get your MBA?
I worked. Or did you? Yeah, I worked for 2 years and then went back to school and got my
MBA. Did IBM pay for that?
No, I actually hadn't started working at IBM yet. I was a programmer at Meredith Corporation, which is Better Homes and Gardens, and went back and went to Madison to get my MBA, which I love the school. So it was a great
no problem.
Time. Great time. Yeah. Okay. And then went to work for IBM after. Well, I actually worked for Arthur Andersen for a little bit and then went to work for IBM.
Okay. So you've had a lot of work experience and, yeah, a wide range of experiences. We mentor. Have you ever had a coach outside of your training for your athletics, or was your getting your degree as so packed with information that you
I
felt confident executing?
I think everybody should have some kind of coach or group. I do belong to WPO, which is Women President's Organization here mm-hmm. in town, and I for a long time belonged to another group called TAB. One was all women and one was all men, which was an interesting combination. But both groups I viewed as my executive board to lots of insight and advice and mentoring that came out of both of those groups and a lot of coaching through some really sticky wickets. And I think everybody needs somebody to talk to, whether it's a mentor or a group, mm-hmm. but having that where people are on the same footing as you and really listening to your issues and having had the background and the experience and maybe gone through that, that really helps you when you hit that wall to come up with new ideas. Those were the groups that helped me for years, and I'm still in WPO.
And how long have you been in WPO?
9 years.
Nine 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So people need to understand that when you're once you're in business, you need to build in your support system.
Yes.
And there are different organizations as your needs change.
Yes.
But for you, some organizations, fill a need for a very long time.
Yes. Yes.
So 9 years out of your 12. I mean, so the majority of the time you've been in business.
Yeah. And the beauty of that is you get to know their businesses as well.
Yeah.
And get ideas that you would never think of because they come from a different industry.
Yeah.
And they come from a different perspective. And some of them are business owners. Some of them are CEOs of, large corporations. Some run nonprofits. But everybody brings different ideas to the table. And you get to know their businesses. They get to know your business. So it's a long-term relationship and a long-term interaction with these women. And they're very frank. They will tell you exactly, what they think,
yeah,
and what they feel, and what they think you should do. But you also need to do that as well for them, because it's maybe the only place where they're actually going to hear that information.
Yeah, and so a person needs to get good at accepting feedback.
Absolutely.
And take it in and look at it from all different angles to see what's applicable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and be able to deliver too. Sometimes people hold back their opinions as well, and when you're in this kind of a group, it's really important to be forthright.
I think over the years you build the trust.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about being in one of those groups for a long time, is you can build trust with these other women and know it's not going to leave that room. And that really helps to bring out a lot of information that you probably wouldn't share otherwise, but
yeah,
you know you can trust these women.
Yeah. Right.
And that for me and for everyone in that group, I know we've all had our moments where we've cried, we've laughed, we've yelled, it's a solid group of women that you can lean on.
Nice. Terrific. And any other advice that you would like to share for those who have been in business for a while?
I think I can learn as much as I can share, but I do believe that you have to always be curious. You always have to look for the next thing that will move your business forward.
Yeah.
And don't forget to include the people that are around you.
Yes, that is so, it's beautiful. It's perfect. What would you say are your 5 top strengths? Have you ever taken the Strength Finder?
I have, but it's been a while.
Okay.
I would say curiosity, mm-hmm, focus, persistence, clarity. Dare I say directness? I'll say directness.
Yeah, great. That's 5. Awesome. Well, that's a great way to end with your strengths.
Oh, thank you so much.
We'll carry on. This was fantastic. Thanks, Cindy. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fun.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. All right. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.